The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Kiss Your Life Hello with Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. This program is all about relationships from love and family to health and business. It's a diverse world of alternative thinking as it applies to your daily life. Now it's time to kiss your life hello. So here are Drs. Nair and Piper.
Good morning, everyone, to our show with Kiss Your Life Hello. This is Dr. H, or Dr. Vijaya calls me Dr. H, but it's actually an H. Dr. Vijaya will not be with us. I guess they're getting a little sprinkling of snow up in the New York area over there, and it's been snowbound, and a lot of traffic has been halted to a big, big, huge halt. So us people in Palm Springs, California, we're just dealing with this terrible weather of 60 degrees and with a little bit of rain, but maybe 70 degrees with a lot of sunshine. So sorry, everybody, but you're all welcome to come down to visit me. Anyways, we had a great show last week, and Dr. Vijaya and I just basically talked about from a couple of her books, Prevent Cancer book and my Zeolite book, on how to prevent and possibly even overcome a lot of these chronic ailments that have a tendency of running through our lives for most of us, if not all of us. Excuse me. And we had a lot of response from people emailing us asking for more information. So I think what we'll do probably in the next couple, 3 weeks, Dr. Vijaya and I will continue our conversation with helping prevent a lot of these chronic illnesses and find some natural solutions. So I found a couple of studies, which is really interesting. This first study is called Sweet Tooth in Children May Be Linked to Alcoholism. Interesting. Most kids won't turn down a sugary treat, but it turns out some children prefer more intense sweetness than others. Those kids drawn to sweeter than cola drinks are also more likely to have a family history of alcoholism and depressive symptoms, a new study finds. I think I'd like to change that to family history of alcoholism and or depressive symptoms. We know that sweet taste is rewarding to all kids and makes them feel good, said this lead researcher from the Monell Chemical Sense Center in Philadelphia. In addition, certain groups of children may be especially attracted to intense sweetness due to their underlying biology. The results, however, don't mean a child who likes ultra-sweetened foods will become an alcoholic. I'm glad they said that. It's just a link between sweet preference and a family member's with alcoholism. Either way, the link between alcohol and depression would make sense, as both activate many of the same reward circuits in the brain. And since sugar can be a mood booster, depressed kids may be drawn to it to help them better. Here's the study. So in the study, this researcher and her colleagues had 300 children ages 5 to 12 taste five levels of table sugar, wow, in water and choose which they preferred most. The participants answered questions about depression, and their mothers provided information about family alcohol use. Nearly half of the children had a family history of alcoholism, meaning they had a parent, a sibling, a grandparent, aunt, or uncle who had been diagnosed with alcohol dependence. About 25% of the kids reported depressive symptoms. The 37 children who had both a family history of alcoholism and had depressive symptoms were most likely to prefer intense sweetness, with these children on average choosing water with 24% sugar, or about 14 teaspoons in a cup of water. That's more than twice the concentration of sugar in a typical soda. Other children prefer the 18% sugar mixture on an average. This is interesting, too. Another part of the current study tested sugar's pain-reducing effects by having kids hold either water or sugar in their mouth while keeping their hands submerged in cold water. Non-depressed kids with sugar symptoms did not keep their hands in the water very long, but the children that had the history, the family of alcoholism, kept it much longer. So is there a connection? Is there not a connection? Well, it's something to take a look at and something to watch our children. I know we had this young lady talk about sugar addicts on our show a few weeks ago, and it talked about how we just have a tendency of just overtaking a lot of sugar. And there's sugar. We put sugar in our coffee. Sugar is laced in our cigarettes, believe that or not, in nicotine. That's why they become part of it, why they become so addicted. Of course, there's sugar in alcohol, and there's sugar in a lot of different factors. Excuse me. Even the starches that we eat. So here's another study that just came across. Why olive oil is bad for stir fry. I love olive oil. It says each type of oil has what is called a smoke pot. Now, when they're talking about the oils, they're talking about olive oil, coconut oil, corn oil, peanut oil, what am I missing, grapeseed oil, sunflower oil. The health of your oil can be related on how you use it. Each type of oil, what is called a smoke pot, the smoke pot is a specific temperature at which the oil starts to break down, or in more technical terms, its molecular structure begins to change. These molecular changes result in changes in flavor, as well as changes in nutritional value. Wow, it's interesting. So as we use this sense of the smoke pot, we get to know the changes in nutritional value. Specifically, the nutritional value of the oil starts to degrade and changing what once may have been considered an excellent oil, such as olive or flaxseed. So the higher an oil's smoke point, the higher the temperature that oil can withstand. As a result, each type of oil should be used for the cooking method that is most appropriate to its individual smoke point and heat tolerance. So here's the list over here. This is pretty interesting. During cooking, it's talking about, and the best to use. When there's no heat, they're talking about flaxseed oil, and the best to be used on salads. But I would like olive oil on my salad, too. Low to moderate heating would be, the first one would be coconut oil, then olive oil. And then medium heat, macadamia nut oil. Wow, that's interesting. I have to see if I can find that. So that's great for medium heat. And then for high heat, they have, like for deep browning or deep frying or even for searing, where you can use grapeseed or sunflower oil. Now, for searing fish, I'll use olive oil, but they're saying not for high heat. Note that the above table represents oils that are refined. Most oils we buy are refined. Refined oils tend to have much higher smoke points than their unrefined counterparts. They also differ in nutrition and flavor. Unrefined oils are more nutritious, and they tend to be much richer in flavor. So when it comes to extremely high heat cooking, always choose oils which are refined. If, however, you are anxious to have a salad with a rich taste, splurge on the unrefined variety if your palate so desires. And I am a huge advocate of olive oil, and coconut oil. Well, we have a great guest. I'm going to bring him on a couple minutes early since it's just going to be myself and the guest talking for the rest of the time because this information is very, very powerful. For so many years, when I've been asked to speak at schools and colleges and universities, I even spoke at a medical school one time, I would say, that food chart, the food pyramid chart that's been hanging around for thousands of years, and we had one in high school, and we were taught this in health class, show me that chart. And I would pick up that chart, and I would either open the door or if there's a window open, and I would throw it out, being very, very melodramatic. I said, these pyramid charts is passe. This is not working. So I want to read the back of Alan Watson's book called Serial Killer, and it's C-E-R-E-A-L. So don't click us off. It's not about serial killers. It's cereal, C-E-R-E-A-L, killer, the unintended consequences of the low-fat diet. In the back of his book, he has, so how are the children doing? End of summer 2008. A record number of American children are being diagnosed with asthma, obesity, diabetes, and bipolar disorder. Along with surging food and medical costs, Americans must come to a grip with a declining life expectancy, now 37th in the world. A few weeks ago, I had some statistics about about life expectancy, and it was. It was 37th in the world, where Japan was like number one. In this explosive book, Alan Watson sheds new light on how corporate greed, government delusion, another and slippery science are making our children sick and causing what the late Robert Atkins called diabetes. And Robert Atkins, I got to meet him several times many years ago at some of the different health trade shows when I was doing book signing. Great, great guy. So, Alan, welcome aboard. We're going to probably talk for a couple minutes, and then as soon as they tell me there's a commercial, we'll go on to commercial. Why the book?
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Piper. Thanks for having me on your show. Why serial killer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, serial killer is kind of timed. It's been out in the last year to coincide with the revision of our dietary guidelines. They're the 2010 dietary guidelines. And so far, we've had four meetings in Washington, D.C., and there has been absolutely no media coverage, none at all.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth meeting, which was going to take place today and tomorrow, was canceled because of the snowstorm. So I would say that's the best thing inclement weather has done for us lately, has slowed down the dietary guidelines process, because the 13-member committee, they were not picked for scientific or medical reasons. They were political appointees. And after listening and reading the minutes of the first four meetings, Dr. Piper, we're going to have five more years of anti-fat, anti-cholesterol, I would say anti-people food guidelines.
So with our show, what Dr. Vijay and I try to do, we try to give people choices. We attempt to find the truth, which I love your book because your book tells the truth, and we attempt to help people take responsibility for their actions. So you cover so much information. In regards to what you're doing in Washington, D.C., let's talk about the book. Let's talk about, at the beginning, you tell a story. Actually, I think it's the second chapter. You tell a story about a young boy that has behavioral problems, I mean, to the extreme, and the huge connection of what?
Right.
His name is Bruce.
His name is Bruce. That's actually in the first section of the book. The fifth chapter is called The Class of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce would be a member of that class, and as you pointed out in your introduction, this class of 2018 will have more autism, more asthma, more obesity, more diabetes, more autoimmune diseases than any other graduating class in the history of this country. And Bruce is a real person. He right now is in foster care, and of course he's on several drugs. He was 5 years old, and he ended up in foster care because he attempted to kill his younger brother. He was going to throw him off a balcony. And when I asked Bruce's mother, you know, what do you feed Bruce? What does he have for breakfast? About the only thing Bruce had ever eaten would be Fruit Loops. Fruit Loops and, Pop-Tarts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her freezer was full of Pop-Tarts. So Bruce, and by the way, Bruce had never had butter, and his mother had never had butter. So Bruce was hydrogenated, and he had a trigger-happy pancreas, and his brain and nervous system lacked cholesterol and adequate dietary fat, prenatally. So Bruce is been diagnosed as bipolar, schizophrenic, you name it, and unfortunately we have millions of children not as bad as Bruce, but they're on the spectrum. What are these children? What are they all having? 90% of all families, what are they having for breakfast? They're having these box cereals and Fruit Loops, which Bruce enjoyed. You know, one cup is 13 grams now of sugar, and that would be about 7 teaspoons. And of course, what kind of milk do we think went on that cereal? It would be skim milk. There's another 10 grams of milk sugar. If he had a Pop-Tart or two, you know, Bruce was up to 70 or 80 grams of sugar, 4 food colors, and a hydrogenated fat for breakfast every day.
Well, let's hold that thought for a second, because when we come back, I want to talk a little about what I've learned also. So we'll be right back with Alan Watson and Serial Killer.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores. Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com. Or call 877-853-PURE.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
This ain't your mama's brain and health show.
Tune in and get ready for entertainment and information about your mind and body that will really change your life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio is a sane departure from conventional thinking about diet, health, and the brain. Host Nora Gedgaudas will also combine humor and science to illuminate the mind and open your eyes to the principles of neurofeedback and diet, which can help you and your family live a better life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio airs live Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back to our show, Kiss Your Life Hello, with Dr. H and Dr. Vijay. Is snowbound for somewhere in upstate New York. Sorry, she'll probably maybe call in whenever she can. So we're talking with Alan Watson, who wrote this awesome book called Serial Killer, C-E-R-E-A-L, The Unintended Consequences of the Low-Fat Diet. So Alan, before we went to the break, you were talking about this young man named Bruce in your book about the amount of sugar from this different cereals and the Pop-Tarts. In my one book called The ADD and ADHD Diet,
Dr. Doris Rapp, who did the foreword for my book, she and I were at a conference together, and she was telling the story of how she worked with children that have problems with food allergies. So it can be sugar, it can be food allergies, it could be preservatives, it could be additives. And what she found was a lot of these children that acted out to a rebellious way or to the extreme, like this guy, young man named Bruce, that when they took away some of the food allergies that would be connected to the extreme anxiety and just anger and just being out of sorts, is that took away the food allergy portion of it, the child went back to the normal, the healthy way. And I'm sure, you know, this young guy, Bruce, it'd be interesting to know that through the years, I know my brother and I would start off our morning. In those days, there wasn't that much sugar, but we would have Cheerios. But I think Frosted Flakes started sneaking in a little bit when we were in high school, I'm not sure. But Cheerios and Wheaties, but we had milk. And I don't know if we put sugar on our cereal. We probably did. And I know that I'd end up crashing like probably the first or second period, either not even in high school, but probably even in elementary school. So we start off our children with this, and we wonder why there's a problem in school. We wonder why there's a connection with diabetes, which is interesting because in your book you talk about that connection with diabetes. Obesity and diabetes almost go hand in hand. In fact, even diabetes with cancer even goes hand in hand. So if we take it all the way back to the source, what are we looking at?
Well, what I think to get right down to the, you know, the primary metabolic problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's elevated insulin levels. People don't get fat because they overeat. You know, that's what the government says. You have to balance your calories in with your calories out. But
all right, say that one more time in case someone didn't hear you.
Yeah, people overeating. You know, let's say we see a fairly lean person, and he may or may not exercise, and he eats like a wolf. He's got this big appetite.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We never say, "Oh, he's overeating." We only say that if we blame someone who's overweight or obese, and we say that they're overweight. It's a mental defect or something. And that's the way it's been for 30 years. These guidelines have blamed obesity on a mental defect that people eat too much. But the fact is that weight deposition in the body, you know, getting fat, locking up that fat, or let's say the reverse, mobilizing and burning fat.
Mm-hmm.
Is hormonal. It's just a hormonal thing. So let's say now that Bruce is sent off to school. Most school lunches, they give him orange juice, which, you know, there you go. There's about 25 grams of sugar, right? They get a banana. A banana is carbohydrate dense. They get cereal, and of course, pick any of them out. All of the cereals to children have at least 5, 6, 7 teaspoons of sugar per serving, and then, of course, skim milk. Well, what happens? The only thing the body can do in response to all of that sugar and the grain, the wheat, the corn is just sugar. It just turns into sugar in the gut. The body has to respond with insulin. And insulin is a powerful hormone, and what insulin tells the body to do is the body has to burn this sugar, right? And it takes the excess and turns it into fat. And so when we hear that somebody has elevated blood sugar or elevated triglycerides, it's because the excess carbohydrates required insulin, and if this goes on for a period of time, you have high circulating insulin, and that's what locks up fat in fat tissue. The moment that someone puts a spoon of any of these box cereals in their mouth, the saliva detects the glucose, and a little wave of insulin is sent out throughout the body. And that's the fundamental problem with obesity. It's not the quantity of the calories, it's the quality. And sugar, whether it's, you know, the sucrose, the white table sugar, or high fructose corn syrup, or the sugar in orange juice, or the grain that turns into sugar, it all requires insulin. All of the people we have in this country, 65 to 75% of Americans are overweight or obese or pre-diabetic or diabetic, or they have metabolic syndrome. And the common denominator is high circulating insulin.
So, Alan, I have a question. If I go to the health food store and I buy cereal at the health food store, am I any better or any worse?
Well, all, you know, when, like, I think Kashi now is owned by Kellogg's, right? They bought Kashi. It may be low in sugar. Cheerios are relatively low in sugar. So that doesn't mean, I mean, that may be a slight benefit, but here's the problem with all dry box cereals. They are, when you take these grains, they are extruded under high pressure at high temperatures. So to make little O's and flakes and circles, it's a very high temperature, high pressure process. And what that does, one, it destroys the some amino acids like lysine is compromised, making it hard for the body to use. And there is fat in all food. Every food has fat. There is omega 6 fat, especially linoleic acid in grain. That is oxidized and damaged. And then that little O has a lot of surface area, so it's going to raise your blood sugar. So no matter how much sugar, whether it's low in sugar or high in sugar, all dry box cereals, even the ones you buy at the health food store, are considered high glycemic. They raise blood sugar rapidly. And when your blood sugar, when you have a lot of sugar going into your blood at high speed, the body has to respond with insulin. Insulin is powerful, and what it tells the body to do is we have an emergency, we've got all this sugar, we've got to burn sugar, and we've got to make fat. So the liver takes the excess, makes fat. When the doctor measures it in your blood, it's called triglycerides. Elevated triglycerides are the most reliable predictor of heart disease.
Okay, you know, that's a whole new subject, because I know we wanted to spend some time after the break, which would be in about a minute or so, excuse me, talking about cholesterol and then how it gets such a bad rap. But the triglycerides is very important when we get a blood test, and also our CRP, which I've talked about so many times, the C-reactive protein numbers. And I mentioned last week, I get a little melodramatic when I was saying sometimes I have to get my hands and knees to beg my doctor to do a CRP test, you know, as part of my lipid blood panel test. And finally they'll say, okay, get out of my sight, I'll have it done. And these are the numbers that need to be looked at, the CRP,
yep,
C-reactive protein, and the triglycerides.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Howard. C-reactive protein, if people in the audience don't know about that, it would be another reliable predictor, and it's kind of measuring inflammation in the body. And this inflammation is in the blood vessels, and it is a consequence of high blood sugar. It's a consequence of sugar, this excess sugar, attaching to proteins like collagen or to the lining of our blood vessels. It's related to excess
omega-6, you know, the linoleic acid that you find in margarine and Crisco and canola and soybean and fast food French fries. So it's that combination of omega-6 or vegetable fat, which most of it is rancid or hydrogenated, and the excess glucose or sugar in the blood. That combination causes injury, where you have injury, you have inflammation, and the CRP would warn us the degree of inflammation in our body.
Right. We're going to be going to break in a couple of seconds. For so many years, you know, I mentioned a little bit in the back of your book, it talks about with Robert Atkins, and the Atkins diet has been poo-pooed by so many medical schools and doctors, yet it makes a lot of sense, because people need to know that the meats, the fats on the meats, the bacon, the sausage, it's not going to kill us. Of course, if we can get free-range, you know, our meats from the health food store, that's a better choice. But the fact, though, that this cholesterol thing that's thrown all over the place, and we get scared, oh, we're not supposed to eat this, we're not supposed to eat that, have more vegetables, and there is a problem with omega-6s. Okay, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Alan Watson and the awesome book called Serial Killer.
Steps to a Healthier You. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com or call 877-853-PURE. Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you.
Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back to our show, Kiss Your Life Hello with Dr. H. And I have the honor to be talking with Alan Watson, the awesome author of this book called Serial Killers. C-E-R-E-A-L. In the back of the book, Alan has, after you read Serial Killer, you will know why obesity is epidemic, why diabetes is soaring, why cholesterol and saturated fat are not the cause of heart disease. So, Alan, before we go on, how can we get this awesome book?
I think the best way for people to get the book would be to go to Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And on Amazon.com, I do have an author pages, a biography, and some blogs. If they want more extensive information about the book, my website is dietheartpublishing.com.
Okay, so dietheartpublishing.com. And again, the book is Serial, C-E-R-E-A-L, Killer. It's funny, it's not funny, but it's interesting how people responded, because when I was telling people that I was going to have you on my show, and I said he wrote this book called, awesome book called Serial Killer, and what's the first thing they thought of?
Right. I've had a few people take a few steps backward.
I know. When,
and then I have to spell it or show them the cover.
Sure.
And then they laugh.
So one of my favorite chapters is I think you said it's chapter 10, Praise the Lard, L-A-R-D. And when I read that article about lard needs to come back because of the various reasons which you're going to explain in a couple minutes, I started thinking that when my brother and I were little, my mom would cook up the chicken fat, and which she called schmaltz. And my dad loved schmaltz on the mashed potatoes, on baked potatoes. We would put it on the bread. Excuse me. And a lot of ethnic homes have done this through the years. And even it's called griveners, too, where my mom would take the chicken fat, and I think she would fry it or do something, where it would become a little crunchy thing. So my dad would have it on his mashed potatoes. So that's how we grew up. And then as the whole thing about cholesterol and no to butter and, oh, my God, lard is terrible, throw it away, and chicken fat, don't do that, everybody did a flip-flop. And then the hype that, oh, now we have heart disease, now we're going to have hardening of the arteries, blame our parents for trying to kill us. And so some of my family today still use margarine or I can't believe it's butter or these egg substitutes. And yet the research and information that I have compiled through the years, through my books, through speaking, finding out that the old way was the healthy way. The new way is the unhealthy way. I am confused.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, we should be confused, and that was, you know, answering your first question, why did I write Serial Killer? Mm-hmm. There's been so much confusion, even with eggs, right? I mean, that's the traditional American breakfast, bacon and eggs.
Sure.
And now, you know, the American Heart Association, beginning in 1961, started telling us not to eat them. And I think they said, you know, maybe one a week or two a week, and then now it's up to we can have one a day. And I recently had a physical, and I'm 60 years old, Howard. I had the first physical since I was in the U.S. Army. And after the physical, of course, my doctor said, gee, you have dangerously high cholesterol. And of course, because we all do, all of us have cholesterol over 200. And she said, you're going to have to limit your eggs to 3 a week. And I said, well, can I eat them all at once? Or do I have, you know, because I normally have 3 or 4, depending on their size, maybe 5 eggs a day, every morning. And I vary that a little bit. And I fry them in butter or lard. I have an Amish guy here that makes lard in Minnesota from outdoor pigs. And I like to mix real high-quality butter and lard, because butter is very high in vitamin A, especially from grass-fed cows. And lard is our best source of vitamin D. And so when you take A and D and you fry your eggs, which is complete protein, 7 grams of protein in an egg. So if you have 4, that's 28 grams of protein. That's what we need first thing in the morning. And the vitamin A and D in the butter and the lard, they are absolutely necessary, critical catalysts for mineral absorption. So the fat helps us utilize the protein and absorb the minerals. Now, lard has been referred to as an artery-clogging saturated fat.
Right.
Right? Okay, lard, now depending on how the pigs are raised, and I'm only talking about animals raised humanely, pigs that root in the ground and are living outdoors. Lard is about 60% unsaturated fat and 40% saturated. And one of the unsaturated fats, the main one, is oleic acid, which is the dominant fat in olive oil. So lard, rendered fat from a pig, and olive oil, which is really a seed oil, overlap about 50 or 60%, right? So lard is very much like olive oil. It is more, has more monounsaturated fat than saturated fat. But the key thing with lard is we're all being told now, everyone is saying supplement with vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 4,000 units a day, even 5,000. If you're deficient, 8,000 for a while. Well, no wonder we have been told not to eat lard, which is our best source of vitamin D. And lard has something like your chicken fat called palmitoleic acid. And that is a monounsaturated antimicrobial fatty acid. So they've told us to give up our traditional fats like chicken skin or chicken fat or lard, both of which are the two best sources of palmitoleic acid, which kills bacteria and viruses in our body. Crisco, margarine, canola, I don't call it canola, I call it canola. They don't have any vitamin D. They don't have antimicrobial palmitoleic acid. And when we were talking about C-reactive protein being a measure of inflammation, where you have inflammation, you have injury. And where you have injury in the body, you have infection. Where you have infection, you have bacteria, virus, and fungus. Eat the chicken skin. Use lard. You're going to ingest palmitoleic acid, which is a killer fat that's going to stop the infection, reduce the inflammation, so you can live longer better.
Now, I want to put a little asterisk by the lard, because in your book you talk about how some companies that may be selling lard are adding something to the product where it's not all natural, correct?
Right. Yeah, you know, lard in commercial grocery stores, one, it's from pigs that are not raised humanely. You can't put pigs in a building on cement floors. They need sunlight like every other creature. But that would be one problem. The other problem is they hydrogenate the lard like they hydrogenate soybean oil to give it a long shelf life. Home-rendered, farm-rendered lard, you want to use it, keep it refrigerated, use it in 3 to 6 months. Hydrogenated lard probably has a shelf life of a year or two. And I should point this out, too, Howard, that in 1910, this is USDA statistics, lard had 70% of the edible fat market in the United States, 70%. In 1910, your lifetime risk of diabetes was 1 in 30. Lifetime risk of cancer, heart disease, all of these things were very, very low. We died falling off of horses or infections from, you know, the water supply and things like that, right? Well, today, 70% of the edible fat sold in the United States is soybean oil.
Right.
Right. Now, soybean oil is associated. Our use, Americans have consumed more margarine, more Crisco. In other words, more rancid, damaged omega-6 linoleic acid than any people on the face of the earth. That's why we have the highest levels of asthma, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and autism, and this big range of chronic diseases. So we have to do, I would say this, the first thing we have to do is eliminate all of this excess sugar, you know, in our diets, and including orange juice. And when we talk about sugar, you know, we're talking about white sugar or high fructose corn syrup. How about agave nectar, another darling in the health food industry? Agave nectar is fructose. It's very, very high in fructose, just like corn is high in fructose. That doesn't go into the blood. It won't raise your blood sugar. It goes directly to the liver. And in a well-fed person, and that's most of us, all the liver can do with fructose is turn it into fat.
Now, it's interesting. Excuse me. We're going to go into commercial and break in a couple of seconds. Yep. But it's interesting you said that, because when Nancy Appleton was on with Suicide by Sugar and we talked about agave, you know, she reacted the same way that you are. We need to go to a break. One more time, how can we get the book? And then we'll be back after the break very quickly.
Sure. The book is available, Serial Killer, on Amazon.com.
Okay, great. We'll be right back.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores.
Wake up with a unique daily show covering the world of sports with a new perspective. Get Off the Bench with Mitchell John. We'll bring you the current sports news and events happening now, not later like the others. Your first look at sports will feature the news and views from professional, college, and high school sports. Tune in with Mitchell John for a can't-miss program every weekday. Catch Get Off the Bench with Mitchell John weekday mornings at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com or call 877-853-PURE.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back to our show, Kiss Your Life Hello with Dr. H. Again, Dr. VJ is somewhere snowbound in upstate New York. And we're talking right now with Alan Watson, the awesome author of Serial Killer. So, Alan, the question, actually a couple of questions I was going to ask you, we talked about it during the break, is one, can I find lard at a health food store? And two, the comparison between lard and coconut oil.
Okay, well, lard is making a comeback. I can say here happily that in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, we have a lot of natural food cooperatives, grocery stores, and one of them, Seward Co-op, now has very, very nice lard. It's from outdoor pigs from Iowa, and that's the first introduction of high quality lard, in probably many decades. I know better restaurants are going back to lard. There was a op-ed in the New York Times about a year ago. I believe the author is one of the editors of the Atlantic Monthly, and he made the same argument that I would make, that hey, this lard makes the best pie crust. When you have liver and onions once a week, I mean, you may want to take the onions and saute them in olive oil with garlic, but you fry the liver in lard. And lard is a very excellent cooking fat. And one thing we should keep in mind is that in 1910, like the dairy industry in the United States was the largest employer. And the small mixed farms across this country, like the one my grandfather operated, were a very important linchpin in our economy. And we all know the economy is suffering, and we can help our economy by buying this better quality butter, asking at, for lard, demanding that we get these high quality fats back. These rural communities could be making, we need to go back to raw milk cheese, real yogurt, not the Yoplait yogurt that has 25 grams of sugar in it. And if we start paying more for good, natural, healthy foods like lard and butter and artisan cheeses and yogurt, we're going to restore the American economy that existed from George Washington, up through the 1920s. And it was, of course, World War II that was the pasteurization of milk after the war. Why did that happen, Howard? It's because war took away the creamery workers. That was a big business in this country, but the workers went to war. The replacement workers didn't know what they were doing. There was a lot of tainted milk. People died, and in 1949, pasteurization became mandatory. What that did is that killed off a healthy food, and that's what we need to do. If we go back to raw milk and have local areas making cheeses and yogurts and producing lard from outdoor animals, beef tallow, from cows is an excellent fat. McDonald's originally used beef tallow in their French fries. That would make them at least a neutral food. And because of the government guidelines, because of the American Heart Association's anti-fat position, they switched to hydrogenated soybean oil. So going back to these fats will help our health, help kids like Bruce, whose brain and nervous system were developing, and he needed fat, he needed cholesterol, and it would help our economy going forward.
Alan, I appreciate, this conversation that we've had this hour. We're going to close in about a minute or so. I just basically want to say is that I appreciate this information that you have given us. It's been an honor to speak with you. You resonate with our show because our show is to help people learn to have choices, take responsibility, get educated. And there's a slow, very slow grassroots of different areas around the country that are slowly starting to go back because the old ways work. The new ways, unfortunately, doesn't. So maybe don't get caught into the commercials on TV or radio or the newspaper ads. Educate, listen to shows like ours, read your book, Serial Killer, make some choices, go to the health store, do your shopping. Alan, thank you very much for being on the show, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you very much, Dr. Piper. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. Take care. So next week, I hope my dear Dr. Vijay will be shoveled out of her area so that she can be on the show. I miss her. And we will have a special guest next week that will also be one of the authors of the many, many books that are on health. So I hear the music, so I will say to you one more time, if no one's told you that they love you today, let me be the first. Love you all. Bye-bye now.
Thank you again for joining Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper for Kiss Your Life Hello. We'll return next Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.